WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this March 1st. Can you believe it's already March? How about that? February absolutely flew by. Yeah, it's hump day, March 1st, 2017, and we have a great hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will chat about Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, who broke his silence, actually during our airwaves yesterday, commenting for the first time on the Michigan State football sexual assault investigation. Was it a bit too late? We'll talk about that. We will also give you a preview of tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans hit the road out in Champaign, Illinois, to take on the Fighting Illini, who are actually pretty hot in the Big Ten right now. We'll preview that matchup. We will also be inviting to the show Chris Solari, Michigan State beat reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Chris is actually on the road right now. He's actually in a layover at Chicago O'Hare Airport to, of course, cover that Spartan and Fighting Illini game tonight. Chris will join us on the show to talk about Coach D'Antonio. We'll get his thoughts on that. He'll also help us preview tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. And on the back end of the show, we will chat about a certain former Michigan State quarterback by the name of Kirk Cousins, who just got paid. Yeah, another franchise tag for Mr. Cousins. And we, of course, will highlight last night's Detroit Pistons and Portland Trailblazers overtime game. That was fun to watch. And now the Pistons back-to-back games as they will take on Isaac's New Orleans Pelicans. So we'll give a bit of a preview of that game as well. If you want to join us here on our airwaves today, you know that number. You know how to weigh in. Pick up that phone and simply dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can watch the show, yes, watch us, via Facebook Live by simply going to Facebook.com/currentsports. You can also even shoot us a tweet at WKAR_sports or at my Twitter handle, at Al Martin WKAR. As you just heard, so much to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. In a press release from the university, Michigan State University football head coach Mark D'Antonio broke the recent media silence surrounding three players suspended at the program for sexual assault allegations. Now, he did not name the three players, but he said in his said statement, quote, "The allegations are something we are extremely concerned about and taking very seriously," end quote. This is the first that Coach D has spoken publicly since National Signing Day took place on February 1st. This investigation also included the Director of College Advancement and Performing, basically the Director of Recruiting, Curtis Blackwell, who was suspended with pay on February 14th. We'll have more on that story in just a moment. Four-star wide receiver Joseph Skates announced on Tuesday night he is putting himself back on the market. The Dayton, Ohio native tweeted this, quote, "I would like to thank Coach Barnett and Coach D'Antonio and Coach Samuel for giving me the opportunity to play at Michigan State. But after a long talk with my teammates, coaches, and family, I've decided to back out of my pledge and open my recruitment back up," end quote. Now, this past weekend, he visited the University of Alabama and received an offer from the Crimson Tide. Nick Saban, former Michigan State football coach, now in the running to recruit possibly four-star wide receiver Joseph Skates. All right, MSU men's basketball hits the road to face the Fighting Illini tonight in Champaign, Illinois. The Green and White are riding a 3-game win streak after a win against Wisconsin on senior night. Illinois has been sneaky good as of late as well, mounting a 3-game win streak as the Orange and Blue make their final push to end the season. Malcolm Hill has been on another level in the 3-game win streak for Illinois. Hill is averaging 19.3 points per game. The Fighting Illini have won their last 2 games by 16 points apiece. This game will tip off at 9 p.m., another late one, and will be televised on the Big Ten Network. Again, folks, we will be giving you guys a preview of that matchup in just a moment. And again, I want to correct myself. Michigan State, of course, riding a 2-game win streak. Of course, they lost to Purdue on February 18th. All right. The Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team and the Northwestern Wildcats were square off tonight in Evanston, Illinois. The Wildcats have been a feel-good story coming out of the Big Ten this season, hoping to be in the big dance for the first time in school history. The Maize and Blue, yeah, they have been impressive lately, have won 5 of their last 6, including a 12-point win over what many people believe to be the best team in the Big Ten. In Purdue, a 12-point win, a double-digit win over the Boilermakers. Michigan and Northwestern will tip off 7 p.m. tonight on the Big Ten Network. If you didn't have plans tonight, well, now you do. Tune in at 7 and then stick around to see the Spartans at 9 p.m. And folks, did you check out this performance last night?
Madre the block, and now the run out the other way. Lee up top and one. Ray Lee with an extra emphasis, a little hanging on the rim.
Yeah, if I were to tell you that Marcus Keene scored 50 against EMU, Eastern Michigan University, yeah, it would be impressive. Not too surprising. No, Keene has been lighting it up. But get this. EMU's Ray Lee is the one who went off last night. Yeah, he scored 50 on the chips. Yeah, 10 of 16 from three-point land, 17 of 26 from the field. That's efficiency, folks. In his last 4 games, Lee has now scored 27, 22, 21, and now 50. Keene still had double digits, 21 points, but was only 1 for 8 from the three-point line. The Eagles tackled the chips 109-81. What an impressive performance, though, from Ray Lee. All right, moving on. The Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament starts tonight from Bankers Life Fieldhouse out in Indianapolis, Indiana. 12-seed Illinois will take on 13-seed Nebraska in less than 30 minutes on the Big Ten Network. Stay tuned with Current Sports as we will give you an update on that matchup throughout the hour. 11-seed Wisconsin will play 14-seed Rutgers 25 minutes after the conclusion of that first game. And the winner of Wisconsin and Rutgers will face 6-seed Michigan State tomorrow. And the winner of that game goes on to play 3-seed Michigan, which has the luxury of having a double bye in this year's Big Ten tourney. All right, a lot of high school hoops action in the world of boys high school basketball happened last night. A small sample size here. Holt over Williamston, 69-52, the final of that one. Okemos topping Unity Christian, 52-46. Lansing Everett over DeWitt, 63-54. St. John's pouncing on Charlotte, 69-23. The St. John's Red Wings actually held Charlotte scoreless until the, in the first quarter. Gave up 2 points in the third and just 5 in the fourth. Defense, thy name is the Red Wings. Lansing Eastern over Lakewood, 68-55. Grand Ledge over East Kentwood, 59-45. And East Lansing remaining perfecto on the year with a win over Lansing Catholic, 74-55. Brandon Johns poured in 29 points. And how about that Piston game last night?
Marcus Morris with a shot, frames it. Count that baby and a foul.
George Blaha never gets old. Count that baby and a foul. The last time the Pistons and Blazers met, it went to double overtime for the Pistons to prevail. Last night, 1-0-T. Pistons pushing past the Trailblazers, 120-113. Marcus Morris, as you just heard, scored a career-high 37 points. Andre Drummond, 19-15. Damian Lillard nearly had a triple-double, scored 34 points. However, the Blazers turned the ball over 24 times, leading to 21 points for the Red, White, and Royal Blue. The Pistons will play again tonight in New Orleans against Isaac's Pelicans. We'll preview that matchup later on this hour. And the Detroit Red Wings.
25 to go on the Sutter penalty. Zetterberg. In front to Abdelkader. He scores! And the Red Wings win it. Justin Abdelkader gets the goal. And the Red Wings win the game. 3-2. Justin Abdelkader. It's his first goal in 23 games, and it's a game-winning goal.
How about that, Justin Abdelkader? That's a long drought. The Red Wings started off red hot, ease off the gas, but Justin Abdelkader, former Michigan State University hockey player, secured the game with an overtime winner to defeat the Vancouver Canucks last night. The Wings waved goodbye, though, to Steve Ott. How about that news? Who was traded to the Montreal Canadiens for a sixth-round pick in the 2018 NHL Draft. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's start the show.
Broken his silence on the sex assault investigation involving three players. He put out a statement yesterday saying the allegations are something he's extremely concerned about and is taking very seriously. He goes on to say, quote, I have high standards for the program and expect all of our players and staff to conduct themselves in a manner that reflects the values and principles of Michigan State University. I expect all members of the football program to live up to those standards, and I'm doing everything necessary to help throughout this difficult process. Now, D'Antonio went on to say he will answer questions when the time is appropriate. No one has been charged at this time. The three football players at the center of investigation have been suspended from the team and have been removed from on-campus housing. We'll keep tracking this story for you.
Yes, that is how we start this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Happy March. It is March 1st already. And in just a few days, we will be talking about and fully embracing March Madness in the world of college basketball. Still, two games left for the Michigan State men's basketball team. And then, of course, the Big Ten tourney ensues. And then we will know whether or not Tom Izzo and the Spartans will make a 20th straight appearance under the leadership of head coach Tom Izzo. We'll be giving you guys a preview of tonight's Michigan State and Illinois men's basketball game in the matter of minutes. You don't want to miss that. Again, we are taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR. Intermixed with that smooth beat from my man Odyssey. You heard last night's report on Fox 47 News. Mark D'Antonio breaking his silence when it comes to the sexual assault investigation that currently surrounds the program. The first time that Coach D'Antonio has issued a statement on the investigation. We'll get to that in just a minute, but I want to open this up by first talking to my man Isaac Constance, engineer behind the glass. Isaac, I don't know if you saw this. Now, again, you know, I'm a big Detroit Pistons fan. You are a big New Orleans Pelicans fan. I'm curious if you saw this, though. Of course, yesterday was Mardi Gras, right? Everybody losing their minds out in NOLA. Such a great tradition. Gotta love it.
I know Tuesday. Where you're going to. Yeah,
you know
I know
where
you're
going, right? You know exactly where I'm going, brother, because I thought of you the first moment that I saw the footage. The Pelicans will take on the Detroit Pistons. The Pels right now, if you look at the standings, the Pels are still four games out of the playoffs. They have not won since the trade acquisition of DeMarcus Cousins. Again, come on now. We all knew that was going to happen, right? There's a transition phase that this team still has to go through. You know, it wasn't going to be all lollipops and rainbows as soon as Cousins put on a no-lie jersey. So that's not surprising. I know Kings fans are embracing it right now. Oh, we're done with the headache. He's out there now. There's still four games out of the playoffs. They're embracing it. If you're a Kings fan out there, you're feeling good right now. And then especially you're feeling good if you saw this footage yesterday of a float that was going through a certain parade at Mardi Gras out in New Orleans. Anthony Davis, the other star, the star of the New Orleans Pelicans, he was on top of the float with a mic in his hand, addressing the crowd, living it up, music playing, you know, feeling good. And DeMarcus Boogie Cousins is right next to him, living it up. His first, he's having no problem whatsoever to adjusting to the fast life of New Orleans. He was on top of the float, just living it up. And I noticed two things, because this was posted on TMZ Sports, actually. If you did not see the footage, I encourage you, if you want a good laugh, check it out. Pretty funny stuff. And I can't blame Boogie. He's living it up. He's having fun, all right? But he's on top of the float next to Anthony Davis, Isaac. And I had to look closely because I didn't notice it at first. And on top of DeMarcus Cousins' head is a pair of women's underwear. And he's having fun. He's living it up. You know, it's right on his head. He's like, hey, going crazy. Then all of a sudden, the footage captures Boogie bend down, and he picks up a bottle of Hennessy. And Jay, straight shot, no chaser there. Just guzzles it down, puts back on the top and puts it down and starts going crazy. I can't blame DeMarcus Cousins. He's having fun. He is one of the best players, one of the best big men in the league. Hey, right next to him was Anthony Davis. They're both having fun. It's New Orleans, folks. It amazes me how many people are criticizing Boogie Cousins about this. Heck, if you were Boogie Cousins coming off a big trade like this, and it's Mardi Gras, you know, you would be embracing it too. You'll be right there next to Anthony Davis, living it up. Let's keep it real here. This in no way, shape, or form has anything to do with the game of basketball. But I choke with a bit. How do you feel about Boogie living it up out in NOLA on Mardi Gras, Isaac?
See, I had no idea that there was criticism of any kind.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
I've been locked in my internal bubble of Mardi Gras culture with New Orleans media and New Orleans sports teams posting about it, and the Pelicans proudly. They lived it up all lavish and posted the same video on their website.
They were
proud to see DeMarcus integrate himself into New Orleans. Let me just state for a fact, there is nothing unusual. If you are a grand marshal of a parade, or if you are an honorary king or queen of a parade, to have some panties on your head and drinking a bottle of Hennessy and doing whatever else, that is the norm. I would say DeMarcus Cousins has endeared himself to New Orleans further with that action than anything he's anything else he's done so far.
Yeah,
we love seeing it. Also, the camaraderie between him and Anthony Davis. It was good to see those two blend off the court as well as on it, and it was a fun time. The thing about DeMarcus to remember, too, is he's from Mobile, Alabama, which is the only other big city in the United States to actually celebrate Mardi Gras. So
right.
Boogie grew up around the culture, and it's nice to see him get back into it. But I didn't have a problem with that whatsoever. It's New Orleans. He's got the day off. Let him have some fun.
I have no problem whatsoever with this. I mean, people, when you go to New York, you want to see, you know, the Statue of Liberty. You know, when you go to L.A., you want to walk on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. When you go to New Orleans, you want to go around Mardi Gras, and you know what's going to take place there when you go there, all right? That's just how it is, all right? I think more so with those who are criticizing Boogie is because of the preconceived notions that they have about Boogie Cousins amidst the whole trade now with New Orleans. I mean, he was a headache. Let's be real here. He was a headache out in Sacramento. And when you see footage of him guzzling down a bottle of Hennessy, people are going to naturally, you knew that was coming. You knew the criticism was coming, okay? I thought that was comical, though. So now Boogie will have to take a few aspirin and get ready for a matchup against the red, white, and royal blue, my Detroit Pistons, tonight. That should be a fun game. We'll recap what took place at the Palace of Auburn Hills last night for the Detroit Pistons. A pretty fun game. I watched that game from start to finish last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. Ish Smith. That's all I'm going to say, man. I'll get to that conversation later on in the hour. Right now, we have joining us live here in studio is our current sports production assistant, who did a great job of putting together those quick hit headliners for us, my man Connor Clark. Connor, how you doing, brother?
Doing well. How are you?
Good to see you, my man. You're going to help us with this conversation now, because we're going to tackle two things before we invite Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Going to tackle two areas here. And I want to start with, of course, how it began the show with Odyssey, of course, intermixed with that instrumental you heard, the report. One of many local reports last night concerning Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, finally issuing a statement concerning what is taking place in the offseason with this program. The three investigations into sexual assault for three unnamed players. We still don't know the names of them. And I went on the show last week and said, you know what, I think that this is the week that we'll finally figure out who the said names are. That still is a mystery to many. We do know that the football staff member involved is Curtis Blackwell. We're just waiting to see how this thing plays out. You know, the investigation is ongoing here. And when you look at Mark D'Antonio's statement, there was really nothing extremely noteworthy or breaking when you evaluate his statement. It was just him coming out and saying, hey, we took immediate action when we heard about the alleged incident. And I'm not going to say too much on the incident, but we do not tolerate sexual assault of any kind. I will take questions when everything is said and done, but as of right now, this is all I got to say. That's basically what he said in the statement. So it wasn't anything breaking in the statement, but many people are commenting on the timing of it. It's so crazy, because I actually began Current Sports yesterday by giving my whole spiel on how Mark D'Antonio needed to come out and say something. And I said he needed to hold a press conference where, you know, not necessarily he needed to take questions at the time, because what are you going to say when the investigation is still ongoing? But I went on my A segment and said that Mark D'Antonio needed to come out and address this, because the longer and longer he waits, the more fuel you add to the fire and the louder the noise becomes. And then it's so crazy. Right after that A segment, what happens? Breaking news. Our PA Grant Essenmacher puts in my rundown that Mark D'Antonio has released a statement. How about that, right? And you know, it's interesting, because this is the question, you know, and for me, you guys who listened to the show yesterday know that I went on record of saying that if Mark D'Antonio makes a statement before the spring game, which takes place on April 1st, I'm cool with that. At least you say something here. At least you address it, because if you let this thing linger past the spring game, oh, that just looks ugly. Looks very ugly. But there are many folks out there who still believe that Mark D'Antonio waiting until the last day of February to issue a statement on those investigations was a bit too late. I don't think it was, but there are many people who do. That's the question I want to pose to our listeners, to our audience right now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Do you believe Mark D'Antonio waiting this long to say something about these sexual assault investigations, was it too long? Connor, I want to bring you into this conversation again. You know how we roll here at Current Sports. We only speak on facts. We're not going to speak on the sexual assault investigation itself, because it's all alleged right now. There's no one that's been proven innocent. No one that's been proven guilty. But I want to pose that question to you. Did Mark wait too long in saying something here?
You know, it's tough to decide, because when you talk about a football team, you know, there's a lot of components to it. You know, despise, you know, a basketball team or some other team. You got a lot of players. You have a lot of things you got to do. And you really got to do a reality check. So, I don't think he waited too long, because he still himself, you know, he has to put the pieces together. He's got to sort it all out. And, you know, clearly there's probably some feeling of, you know, maybe if we don't say anything, the noise will go away. But this is a big program. It's never going to go away until you address it. So I think he's just trying to calculate everything out. They're going to try to, you know, set up how every message is going to be delivered. How are they going to put out everything so that, you know, a minimal damage can be done, you know, to the program and to everything going out and the noise surrounding them.
What about you, Isaac? Did he wait too long? We had this conversation a bit. Wasn't that crazy, too? We start the show and then boom, it comes out. But has Mark waited too long?
You know, I think earlier would have been better, but this is definitely a case where it's better late than never. Let's not act like he said anything substantive in this quote. I mean, he basically just said, hey, we're monitoring it. I'm here for you guys. As the details reveal themselves, I'll reveal them to you. That's what he said to the public. He did not say anything of meaning. He didn't release the player's name, the details of the incident, as you wouldn't expect him to.
No.
But the thing is, you know, so let's stop acting like, oh boy, if Mark D'Antonio would have said this after day one or two, everything would be cherries and roses. I mean, you know, this statement doesn't change anything at face value. What it does do is it provides a little bit of assurance to the fans that, you know, they're getting the full story, that Michigan State actually is thoroughly investigating this, not sweeping it under the rug. And that's what's important here. That is the takeaway from this release. At the same time, though, maybe he should have released it a few days ago. I really don't think it matters, though, whatsoever.
Interesting article here from Sean Windsor of the Detroit Free Press. The headline is entitled, D'Antonio 19 Days Too Late in Addressing Sexual Assault Investigation. I read this article as soon as I woke up this morning, and I must say, Sean does bring up a few compelling points, and he attacks it more so from the standpoint of just the football program, more so from just the standpoint of Mark D'Antonio. He brings up the president of the university in Luana K. Simon. He also talks about Mark Hollis a bit in the article. For those that feel as though Mark D'Antonio has waited too late, or no matter how you feel, I believe that this is a pretty compelling article. That's all I'm going to say with it. So in my opinion, I agree with you guys. I don't think that he waited too late in addressing this, and I'm not surprised that it did take Mark this long to address it. My cutoff point was the spring game. Make a statement before the spring game, because then it becomes a distraction as you try to play that game on national television on the Big Ten Network. You got to say something way before that. But I'm not surprised that it did take Mark D'Antonio this long to issue a statement, because as you said, Connor, Mark has always been calculated. He doesn't enjoy those press conferences with the media. This is a classic case of him, as he usually does, thinking through a situation and making sure he goes about it the right way. And this is a situation where you have to act, you got to act kind of quick, though, because the longer you wait, again, the louder the noise becomes. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are taking your calls on any sports topic that you feel prompted to talk about. And right now we have waiting patiently on line one, our dear caller, Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing? What's on your mind?
Hey, Al. I wanted to call in and talk a little NBA, and I'll get to that in 1 second.
Yeah.
Since you brought up the whole D'Antonio statement thing. I suspect the when he made the statement thing was dictated more by legal counsel advice than anything else. And sometimes that's not necessarily a good thing, but you got to do what you got to do. I suspect, looking at that statement, that statement was prepared and was ready to go as soon as the warrants were going to be issued. And then the prosecutor's office threw him a curveball by saying, no, we want more information and stuff like that. And that left them all scratching their heads and trying to figure out what was going to happen. Was it going to be just another couple days, whatever? And now that this thing seems to be dragging on ad infinitum, that they decided they better make a statement.
So you believe the legal process probably delayed the statement from Mark D'Antonio a bit here. And that's a logical thought, for sure. For sure, Kirk.
Well, I'm saying that you got to know that all the people at the university have been talking to their police department.
Yep.
And they're saying, hey, we're going to ask for warrants and stuff. And it's like, okay, as soon as the warrants are issued, as soon as the guys are picked up and arraigned, boom, we'll enter our statement. And maybe that's not necessarily the right thing either, but I suspect that was part of the equation, because then you could at least address the names of the players and everything else. And then when the prosecutor's office said, no, we want more information, it had to cause some scratching of the heads over there and some second guessing in terms of how to deal with this.
Certainly. I don't dispute that at all.
Okay. So now let's switch to the NBA real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been listening but unable to call sometimes. And last week before the trade deadline, you mentioned how you saw the one ESPN guy talk about how the Pistons were shopping Andre Drummond and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yes.
The part you didn't mention was that early in that statement, he said they had shopped Reggie Jackson all around the league, and there were no takers, I believe was his exact quote. No one wanted Reggie Jackson. So that's why they were then having to shop those other two guys.
Can we double check on that, Isaac? Because we certainly had the conversation about Reggie Jackson being on the possible trade market, and what I looked at was, if you remember, Kirk, the Pistons were in talks, said talks, with the Minnesota Timberwolves for the Ricky Rubio and Jackson swap, and then there was possibly going to be a third team involved, and that just totally went down the drain for whatever reason.
Well, what I remember from that, too, is actually as they got closer to the trade deadline, the Pistons' asking price was just too high. I think they wanted a first-round packaged in with whoever they got back for Reggie Jackson. No team wanted to give up a first-rounder, and I don't blame them for that.
And I must say this, Kirk. I think that Reggie Jackson, let's keep it real here. Reggie Jackson can score the basketball. He's a dynamic offensive scorer. There are a few teams out there that could use a player like Reggie Jackson. I'm sure there are many that wanted him, but again, the asking price for him was just too much for certain teams.
Well, that very well could be, but the quote the guy made was, no takers. They shopped them around, no takers.
Who made that statement?
It was, I don't remember the guy's name. He's kind of squatty, roundish, dark hair.
Ah, that had to be Brian Windhorst, then, I'm guessing.
That describes him, yep.
That's Brian Windhorst. Gotcha.
He was being touted on ESPN as being the guy, the be-all, end-all guy.
Oh, yeah, he knows his stuff. Yeah, Sean is great. I like him.
And he said because there was no takers for Reggie Jackson, that's why they were shopping the other two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So in the face of that, along with the fact that Ish Smith, clearly the Pistons function much better with Ish Smith playing point guard, I don't know where you go with all that. I mean, if you're the Pistons management, I don't know how you can, you know, tie your wagon to Reggie Jackson as your lead point guard.
You can't. And I think Stan Van is slowly but surely learning that. If you look at how that game took place in overtime, I mean, who was the guy in overtime for the Pistons last night? Ish Smith. And this is the thing about Ish. Ish last night not only did a great job of scoring the basketball and picking and choosing his spots when to score the basketball, but what more so impressed me more than that was Ish Smith's impact defensively for the Pistons last night. Dude ended up with 7 steals. He had a big-time block that led to a fast break opportunity in crunch time for the Pistons in OT. It was just amazing how he impacted that game on the defensive side of the basketball, slowed down Damian Lillard for just enough for the Pistons to get that lead and for Marcus Morris to do his thing. I mean, it was remarkable. And that's something that Reggie Jackson just doesn't do. I mean, he shoots the ball too much. He can score the basketball, don't get me wrong, but he becomes a liability at times throughout a game on the defensive side of the basketball, and that's something that hurts the Pistons far too often.
Okay. Now, I want to switch to a couple of interesting topics for you to think about for a minute.
Okay.
Okay? The first one has to do with Draymond Green. I'm watching the Warriors game a couple nights ago. He wound up getting a technical for saying how. I mean, he got called for a foul. He turned to the referee. He said how. You could read his lips real clear, didn't say anything else. Said how they teed him up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What it reminded me of was many, many years ago, I know you guys are young, was Rasheed Wallace is playing for the Portland Trail Blazers. He got called for a foul. He turned and looked at the referee and teed him up. I maintain Draymond is headed down the path of being the next Rasheed Wallace in terms of getting teed up.
Well, you know, Draymond certainly gets a ton of texts. We all know that, and I think he's turned into a bit of a hothead since he's entered the NBA. Another name you can throw in that category is DeMarcus Cousins. Actually, DeMarcus Cousins. We actually won't see DeMarcus Cousins tonight because he got a technical in his last game.
17 on the season.
17 on the year, and he's suspended tonight against the Detroit Pistons. So he's another guy you can throw into that mold as well.
Okay, here's another thing I want you to contemplate.
Okay.
I see all these big guys, these fives and stretch fours, shooting outside shots, shooting three-pointers, off of pick and pop. And I just want to say that it wasn't until Isaiah Thomas, Bill Laimbeer, and Chuck Daly having the courage to let them run it that the term pick and pop was ever used.
Huh.
Because before then, it was always, if there was a pick, it was always a roll. Pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll. But Laimbeer wasn't athletic enough to roll to the basket and take passes high up in the air or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one, the big guy, and I'm talking about a five. I'm not talking Larry Bird, who was playing a small forward with all those other guys. He was the first big guy who routinely would set a pick and step outside and hit the outside jumper. So just contemplate that a little bit. And then with your thing about the guys drinking at Mardi Gras, I think we're going to have a really ugly basketball game tonight because the Pistons are going to be drunk from travel in a back-to-back game, and the Pelicans are going to be drunk from Mardi Gras.
That is very well possible. Thank you, Kirk. Look at Kirk, even educating us on the origin of basketball terms. How about that?
Good point, too.
We are far too young, Isaac. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. When we come back, Chris will dive into tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game against Illinois. We'll also get his thoughts on the recent statement from head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Let's bring on our guest for today's show. He is our dear friend of our airwaves. Currently in a layover at Chicago O'Hare Airport. Of course, he will be in the house in Champaign, Illinois, to cover tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans take on the Fighting Illini. We welcome Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Chris, what's up, my man?
Al, how you doing? Just had lunch at the Cubs Bar and Grill here.
Oh, nice.
A wonderful burger that is not named after Anthony Rizzo. So
I like that. So you must be good and full then, my man.
Perfect. It's the perfect time. I'm in a good mood, and it's well-fed.
Oh, that's good stuff. See, now you're making me hungry on the air here. Well, I still got less than 30 minutes here, so I'll wait until I crack open my lunch for the day. But Chris, I want to start our convo by talking about what took place in our A segment. We briefly chatted about the comments from Mark D'Antonio, head football coach of the Michigan State football team, breaking his silence on the sexual assault investigation surrounded around his program. Do you think that Mark waited too long?
That's an interesting question because, first of all, I don't know how much he can really talk about things.
Right.
Because, remember, there are three investigations going on. There's the criminal investigation into the three players and the staff member. And then there's the Title IX investigation and the external investigation that are looking into the football programs handling it, which means that Mark D'Antonio is under investigation as well. That doesn't necessarily mean he's done anything, but because those investigations do incorporate him, that puts him in a different spot, maybe, I think, than some of the other situations. But still, this statement was very lawyered up. It was very, very innocuous. And there's no reason this couldn't have been released on February 9th with everything else, in my thought. And it did probably drag on too long without any type of comment whatsoever.
Right, certainly. And you look at the statement, and that's something that we commented on to start the show as well. I mean, you look at the statement, there was nothing of breaking news in the statement. You know, a lot of people are just commenting on the timing of it. Now, you know, when you look at what's taking place with this program, again, Chris, you've documented this in articles for the Free. You know, usually Mark D'Antonio comes out and has a press conference before spring practice begins. Usually we have a media schedule. Usually he releases a depth chart. And again, you know, the program is basically on lockdown this spring practice leading up to the spring game. How does this affect, I want to ask you this, Chris, how does this affect the perception of the program and the recruiting trail specifically?
Well, the perception of the program right now is that they're in lockdown mode and that nobody wants to talk. And I think this is different than maybe, say, the Jim Harbaugh thing, because I've heard people say, oh, well, Jim Harbaugh goes into the submarine. How is this different than that? Well, there's a lot more questions that are out there. There's obviously the stuff that D'Antonio we know can't talk about in terms of the sexual assault, but we've already seen two players leave the program in John Reschke and Theo Lacusa.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't addressed that. There could be other players who have left the program. That needs to be addressed. There's any number of things. There's injury updates in terms of who is healthy. Remember, the starting quarterback the guy that he is promoting for starting quarterback is coming off a broken leg, Brian Lewerke. Tyler Higbee, a broken ankle. We don't know where his status is, a projected starter. And then, you know, you obviously take out two other projected starters in Lacusa and Reschke. And there's a significant amount of questions, not to mention the biggest question of all. How do you recover from 3-9? And, you know, spring is supposed to be a renewal time for a program, especially a program that's hit such a bad patch as Michigan State did last year, let alone everything that's really transpired since the season ends. You lose those guys. You obviously lost Malik McDowell and Monte Nicholson to the NFL draft. So there were a lot of questions to be answered that have nothing to do with the investigation. So to have complete radio silence, complete lockdown, no roster, no depth chart, you know, there's some understanding of that based upon the investigation. But at the same point, you know, I guess we just have to wait and let it play out. But still, it's just abnormal compared to the first 10 years of D'Antonio's tenure.
Chris, I got to ask you, because it's been a question that I've had for quite some time now. Is there any timeline? Because this is really a legality question here, but is there any timeline to when we will know when the names of those currently unnamed football players involved in the investigation, when those names will be put out?
Only if charges are filed. And I talked to the MSU Police Department this morning. A spokesman told me that it remains under investigation and there is no timeline. That's something to keep. I mean, these things move at their own pace. Jurisprudence doesn't have anything to do with what takes place and transpires on a football field. So, you know, those three individuals are basically in limbo, really, as Michigan State's football program. So it'll be interesting to see how long that takes and when Mark D'Antonio finally does talk about his team. I mean, April 1st is coming relatively quickly. We're talking 1 month away right now. And this investigation was sent back in the middle of February from the prosecutor's office back to MSU police for further investigation. I think we're coming up on about 2 weeks now with that. So, you know, could it take 2 more weeks? Could it take 2 more days? Could it take a month? Could it take 2 months? I don't know. Because, you know, during an investigation like this, they're not really obligated to speak, and they often don't speak about a timeline. And the same to be held for the Title IX investigation. I reached out to the independent investigator that MSU hired. He actually used to work for MSU's Title IX office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she cannot comment on anything in terms of when the investigation began, when it could end, or anything. So that's something else to keep in mind, not just the criminal investigation. There could be charges filed. There could be no charges filed. Let's say there's no charges that are filed against three individuals. There's still that Title IX investigation that will affect their status with the program. And what does Mark Antonio do then? Those typically take longer than criminal investigations.
Many moving parts for sure, Chris. And you mentioned Theo Lacusa. You mentioned John Reschke, and again, we have not seen an up-to-date depth chart when it comes to the team right now. There may be a few other names that may be absent from the program. But with that being said, Chris, is it safe to say now that when you evaluate a 3-win year for the Spartans last season, can you say that this team clearly had a chemistry or locker room problem that led to that?
Problem might be a strong word. There definitely were issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think problem maybe, you know, I think there may be some areas, but, you know, especially when you have 100 guys, there's going to be problems.
Certainly.
Was it a collective problem? I think it showed on the field. And that much, I think, is true. But there's certainly, in terms of, you know, as we're kind of seeing with guys leaving the program and everything else, I think there were some issues. Some significant issues that obviously have manifested into something completely beyond that right now.
All right, Chris, I want to shift gears now. Again, you will be in the house to witness tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. The Spartans hitting the road out in Champaign to take on the Fighting Illini. Right now, Chris, has Michigan State done enough to be in the big dance?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it certainly You lose at Illinois. I mean, they're surging right now, so I don't think it hurts you as much as it would have maybe about a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like Michigan State. I think that, you know, obviously Maryland is kind of coming down to earth a little bit at the moment. But I think they've kind of, with the win over Wisconsin, Wisconsin's going to keep their profile. I believe that Michigan State should be in, barring, I think the only thing that there could be a collapse is, let's say you somehow manage to end up facing Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament and lose. That maybe you're really back on the bubble. But I think for right now, I think as of right now, at 18 wins with the strength of schedule that they've played, getting that signature win finally over Wisconsin, sweeping Minnesota, I think they should be fairly secure at the moment to get in.
Chris, you mentioned how Illinois is surging, winners of three straight games. How dangerous is this game on the road tonight?
Well, it's very dangerous. It's senior night. Malcolm Hill, you know, they're obviously top scorer. They're giving away two thresholders with his likeness. I mean, that should be pretty interesting in and of itself. But, you know, anytime you get to senior night and you have a veteran-laden team like Illinois has, along with, as Tom has said, some young components to go with that experience, I think that, you know, you put yourself in a position where things can get a little dicey. I mean, look at Michigan State's emotion against Wisconsin. I mean, that was fueled with the seniors. That was obviously to get Aaron Harris a chance to kiss the midcourt logo. There was a lot of emotion in that day. And it's going to be like tonight. I think the 9 o'clock start's always kind of one of those things where you just never know what you're going to get. Are you going to get a crowd that's ready to go to sleep, or are you going to get a crowd that's incredibly tuned up from a couple hours worth of imbibing?
Right.
Michigan State's always had some issues at Assembly Hall / State Farm Center. I think this is going to be an interesting game. You're talking about a team that put up 80 points in a row in Michigan State's last two games. So that's, you know, if they can keep up at scoring and still hold the Illini down, I think they have a good chance to walk out of there with a win.
And Chris, you look at that Wisconsin game, again, a 10-point win over the 16th-ranked Badgers at the time. Matt McQuaid, 28 minutes, 15 points, but, you know, more so how he got those points. I mean, especially that drive on the baseline for that and-one bucket, I haven't seen Matt McQuaid do that ever. Where did that dude come from?
Well, remember, this is a guy who last year went into the season and early in the year was playing backup point guard. He has those abilities. I'm with Tom Izzo. I mean, when you have double sports hernia surgery, and not only do you lose an off season, but that affects your mobility. It affects your quickness and your first step. And I think we've seen that. I think it also affects a jump shooter because you're using your core muscles to elevate. The timeline that I've always heard with that is it sometimes takes a year to a year and a half to feel more comfortable. And I think you're starting to see McQuaid get to that point where he's almost at a year. You know, he had it right after last season. So he's getting closer to 100%. And I think that affects his game. You know, if he's able to stay aggressive like that and not just be a spot-up shooter, which is basically what he did for the first third of the season, two-thirds of the season, is he just was stationary and standing outside. I think if he can attack the rim, essentially a lot of the things that Aaron Harris was doing before his injury, I think that makes him a little more dangerous. But same with Joshua Langford. I think Langford has become more aggressive and been more of a north and south and kind of drive the basket guy than he had maybe in the first two-thirds of the season. And those two guys have to do that to replicate what Harris did and to maybe even give them more than what Harris was giving them.
Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Chris, before we get you out of here, you know, I watched the news last night, WLNS TV6. Fred Heumann got an interview with Miles Bridges' dad and asked him the question whether or not Miles will be back next year. And his dad said he believes that Miles will. Now, again, there's a lot of things that have to be ironed out here as the year goes on. But I have to ask you, did we see the last of Miles Bridges at the Breslin Center on Sunday?
Well, you know, considering I did a story earlier in the year talking to his mom, and she didn't want to, she said that Miles doesn't even want to talk about the NBA right now until the season is over. I still think there's a chance, obviously, that he's coming back. But I do think the Aaron Harris thing kind of opened some eyes within that program for a few guys, just that, you know, how quickly things can be taken away. And Bridges is one of them. So it's obviously to me just, you know, again, you know, I did the story talking to his mom, who's been really the influence in him. I'd still say there's maybe a 5-10% chance at best that he comes back. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's also a different kind of guy. I think that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he did. But in a way, it maybe would. I still think a lot of it's going to depend after the season what NBA scouts tell Tom Izzo. That's the one thing is Miles Bridges and his mom put implicit trust in Tom Izzo. And if Tom Izzo is hearing things about what Miles Bridges can or can't do, or where he may slide in the draft, or if he's going higher, I think they'll trust Izzo's deferment and defer to some of that and then make the decision off that.
Very good point. Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. You can catch his coverage of tonight's Michigan State and Fighting Illini game, post-game coverage at Freep.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Chris Solari. Chris, thank you so much, my friend. Travel safely.
Thanks, Al. Take care.
That's our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's show by giving you our thoughts on tonight's Spartans in Illinois game, as well as briefly chatting about the Detroit Pistons and also Kirk Cousins getting the franchise tag from the Washington Redskins. That and more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Excuse me. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a great chat with Chris Solari, Michigan State beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. You heard him tackle multiple topics there. Mark D'Antonio's latest statement and how it looks when it comes to the perception of Michigan State football. Also, a bit of a preview of tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game against Illinois. And he also talked about whether or not he believes Miles Bridges will be back for the Spartans for a sophomore campaign. Connor Clark, Isaac Constance, I want to ask you guys this question before we wrap up the show here. Connor, you've covered the team all year. We were just chatting a minute ago. You'll be on the road covering the team at the Big Ten tournament next week out in D.C. Do you believe Miles Bridges? How confident are you in saying that Miles Bridges will be back with this program next season?
I mean, I'm not confident at all. I think there's no really reason for him to come back. If you actually get a chance to meet Miles Bridges and you talk to him, you realize how composed he is and mature he is for a kid his age. And, you know, how when I did a story on him, I talked to him about how he's like, yeah, you know, I grew up in Flint. A lot of guys get that Hollywood complex. They know they're good. You know, they're at the courts with everybody else and they're dominating and they get a little arrogance about him, but how he never wanted to be that kind of kid. So as I just see him, you know, transition into college basketball, he still hasn't really gained that arrogance, and we see it with his play. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a freshman, how strong he is unbelievable.
He looks like an NBA player right now, doesn't he?
He does, and he's got all the tools to be next level anyway. And, you know, I think the big draw would kids say, you know, they're going to stay another year for college. It's really to grow mature, you know, maturity-wise, rather than skills, because, you know, Tom Izzo can obviously teach you a lot of skills, but when you're in the NBA and all you're doing is playing basketball, you're going to obviously grow a lot once you get that step. And I don't think Miles needs to grow, you know, maturation-wise. So I think he's gone. And, you know, I think he has a very successful career ahead of him just from the type of person he is.
Good points there, Connor. And you know what a great point that I thought Chris Solari brought up, Isaac, was the fact that Aaron Harris getting injured. And you just see, mm-hmm. you know, when you witness something like that, I mean, you saw Miles Bridges absolutely in tears mm-hmm. when Aaron Harris was taken off in a stretcher from that Purdue game. That does something to you emotionally. When you see just how fragile a basketball career is and how in the blink of an eye things could change. It's hard to say whether or not right now Miles Bridges will be back next season.
It is, and it's entirely his decision. Some guys give you the air, though, such as a Denzel Valentine, that they would rather nothing besides play college basketball. It's an irreplaceable atmosphere. It's a feeling that you can't replicate anywhere you go. Frank Kaminsky had the same thing saying all 4 years. Some guys don't give you that feeling. And I'm not saying Miles Bridges doesn't enjoy college, doesn't enjoy MSU, but I'm saying very much like a Deontay Davis, he's mature. It doesn't seem like he's living it up at Rick's or at some bar every single night. You know, he's a guy who's very dedicated to his craft. And you know what? Maybe an extra few million in the first year leaving early. That doesn't sound too bad to me either.
And I think the reason why he's not at Rick's is he's not old enough right now, Isaac.
Well, that's part of the reason, too.
But he could find a way in, you know.
I mean, he could find a way in.
I was just about to say that. Connor, a brief preview on tonight. What are you expecting? Who do you think pours it out?
I mean, it's going to be back and forth the whole time. You're going to get a lot of energy from Illinois. Malcolm Hill, you're going to have to do whatever you can to stop him.
Right.
You're going to have to throw it. Josh Langford looked pretty poor defensively in that beginning part of that Wisconsin game on Showalter. So we're going to see, you know, Tum-Tum thrown in the mix there. Josh thrown in the mix. Try to stop him. Do whatever you can. But I think you just keep pounding into Nick Ward and how well he did. You know, Illinois doesn't do a good job of blocking shots. Just try to, you know, do what you can. Get to the foul line again and do everything you can to attack that basket.
Spartan win?
Yeah, I'd say about 4-6, somewhere close.
Isaac?
Illinois got a lot of man-on-man, one-on-one play. That's what they do. They run a lot of ISO. For the Spartans, I think Connor's exactly right. It all comes down to defense, what MSU could do on that side of the ball. I think MSU can contain Illinois well enough. I think it'll be about a five-point game, a very close one, but relatively high scoring as well. I'd go with 83-78, something like that.
Spartan win.
Spartan win.
Illinois, winners of three straight games, Iowa, Northwestern, and most recently over Nebraska. All right, the Detroit Pistons. You know, see, with just a minute left, it's impossible for me to this same thing happened to me yesterday, Isaac, when I wanted to elaborate on Kirk Cousins getting a big payday, being hit with the franchise tag. Actually, by the way, food for thought here. Kirk Cousins, the first player in NFL history, the first quarterback in NFL history to have back-to-back years where the team has enacted the franchise tag. The dude is about to get paid about, what, over $40 million in guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty hefty payday. I'm sure Kirk is loving that. I guess it was pretty smart for Kirk to say, nope, I'm not signing a long-term deal for the year 2016. I want to play this thing out, and then we can talk. Very smart financial move for him, and he seemed pretty enthusiastic about the news yesterday as he tweeted out, tag, I'm it. So he's pretty happy about the franchise tag. He's going to get paid. It'll be something, though.
You like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
I love that bite. Thank you, Isaac. And it'll be something, though. Let's say if Cousins has just a kind of a subpar year this upcoming season. Wouldn't that be something, though? Because the Redskins would have paid this dude all this money for no long-term deal. What are you getting back after shelling out that kind of a money? That kind of money for not a long-term contract. That would say a lot on just how this franchise thinks. We'll elaborate on that and so much more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.